Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Now, I want to thank all of you for tuning in this evening for another exciting broadcast of the Hour of the Time. But first, some special announcements and the usual announcements as well. If you'd like to contact the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com, that's hourofthetime.com, the studio number, 928-333-2942, and my personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, that's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now for some announcements, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to remember that we are listener-supported, and without your support, we can't continue our mission and our fight to restore our constitutional republic and all our freedoms. You have to help. You can't sit back and take the socialist mentality and let someone else do it for you. That someone owes you. It's someone else's job. Freedom is your job, ladies and gentlemen. One way to support us is outright donations, and even better yet is go to the hourofthetime.com, our website, hourofthetime.com, and go to the shopping cart, hot store, what have you. You'll see thousands of audio broadcasts there, DVD presentations, etc. You'll also find emergency gear, medical supplies. So take a look around. The broadcasts since 1993 are on there. And what they do is they have the broadcast number, the title, which is quite indicative of the content, and the date it aired. So that helps you see all the thousands of subjects that we have covered over the years. Those are available on CD. Or contact me if you'd like them on MP3 format. I always give breaks. If you'd like your whole order just in MP3s, you get a discount. Just email me directly at hourofthetime@hotmail.com and work something out. And don't be afraid to barter. We do that quite a bit. Also, when you're on our website, hourofthetime.com, be sure to look at the Conference 2007 page. You still have plenty of time to make your arrangements and get out here for this once-in-a-lifetime event. Every year is different. Speakers that you won't get anywhere else. Topics that no one else will dare cover. Meals served on site for your convenience, your safety, and quality. We have a professional chef that does everything. We've used him before. He does a wonderful job. The whole facilities and properties are ours. So you're safe. It's nice. You can walk around. If you want to skip a class, it's up to you. Take a hike. Go look at Indian ruins, what have you. We have field and outdoor activities, and indoor activities. And they're mixed every day. So that way it's just not a boring all day in the classroom type of scenario. And we are teaching some subjects that are really, really good and pertinent for the times we're in. So I suggest you go there to the Conference 2007 page and figure out how you can make your arrangements. You cannot get a package like this anywhere else for this price, especially. So take a look around, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to sign up and come. There's lots of different arrangements you can do for your lodging. You can do stay in a hotel. Some people camp out in a forest campground. Some people bring a van and sleep in it. Some people bring motorhomes. It's all up to you. You can travel via train, airplane, drive. A lot of people have used train in the past because it's quite inexpensive, and the train depot has a car rental agency right there. A lot of people have found they save quite a bit of money and have a lot more privacy, if you know what I mean, by using the trains. So, consider that, ladies and gentlemen. Also, I am very happy to announce a new release here at the Hour of the Time. We are going through all the old video archives and completely having them digitally converted to digital, edited, titles, chapters, the whole nine yards. Not editing for content, only mundane things like when the camera's still running at break or the sound levels need to be increased. Little things like that. We're not editing anything out. I'm very proud and happy to announce that with the work of Rob, the co-host, and he runs the Canadian Studios, and many of you will be familiar with James, the producer of The Hour of Our Time, the documentary on Bill and its professionalism, we have the first set done. And what the first release is, the four DVD set of one of Bill's most famous speeches probably ever. Right up there with his famous Hollywood and LA speeches in Las Vegas and Atlanta, the Sedona speeches, Sedona, Arizona. It's a four DVD set. And I'm happy to announce that we now have that completed and in my hands, ready to start not only advertising, obviously, but shipping. So, what I want you to do is keep an eye on the website. We're going to have an announcement up there quite shortly. Now, I also want you to go to CMRI.TV, CMRI.TV. That's Charlie Mike Romeo India.TV. Now, although you will have missed today's broadcast because of this announcement, it will rerun again on Friday. We are now on television. The Hour of the Time is now on Internet TV. Today was two episodes. Friday will be two different time slots as well. What we're going to do, because of different people's schedules, the two time slots are really nice apart for different people's work schedules, as well as Monday and Friday. So, be sure to look at that. Go to CMRI.TV, plus look at our website, hourofthetime.com, for details. And be sure to check out Hour of the Time on Internet TV. We've got a lot of exciting stuff going on here, besides the conference, besides all the speaking engagements we do. I'm doing around four a month, and I've been asked to do another big one here shortly in New Mexico. And that's why we need your support, your listener support. The only way to get the word out there is to stay active. Get out there and talk to the people. Show them the evidence. Bring out these new releases. Get all this old footage converted and edited that hasn't been seen in years. And we have video releases, some of them 16 hours long, on Symbology, for instance, and whatnot. Mystery Babylon on video that no one's ever seen. So you see why these projects are so important. The TV project, that's going to open up a whole new field for the Hour of the Time and let a lot of you get a different view of the Hour of the Time, and you can see video presentations. So you see the need for listener support, ladies and gentlemen. It's quite simple. We don't have corporate sponsorship on purpose. So you don't have to listen to 3 minutes of broadcasting, 3 minutes of commercials throughout the whole show. We also are never gagged or have to play favorites or favor one advertiser over another. We tell you what we need to get out there to save this country and our Constitution. Now, tonight's broadcast is part 7 in our series, the Minuteman series, part 7. So after the musical break, You'll get a brief recap of episode 6, and then we'll move into new material. Let's take advantage of this musical break, go to the bathroom, get something to drink, get some notebooks. And remember, you can donate for these broadcasts at the special prices we have right now. And at the end of the series, the whole package will be bundled on an MP3 disc for even greater savings. Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, make sure to take advantage of this 3-minute or so musical break. Get your notebooks ready. And we will continue on with the Minuteman series today, episode 7. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Hour of the Time here with your host, Doyle Shamley, this evening in Eager, Arizona. Number 7 of the Minuteman series. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a brief recap. In episode 6, you learned about the finite details of propaganda. And that ended up the propaganda section, completed it. Some tips and hints proven in the field, pitfalls to avoid if you are serious about becoming a Minuteman to save our constitutional republic. And with each phase of training, We, of course, have tests, and much of the testing involves outside work as well. And when I say outside, I mean it's not just covered in the content of the broadcast. You're going to have to do your research, hit the libraries, etc. We expect that of Minuteman members to be intelligent, know the facts, and be safe. And then we just got into the beginnings of recruiting. Recruiting can make or break a Minuteman freedom movement. Now remember, ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of this is so that you out there who are aware of the problems this country is facing from either domestic or foreign enemies, the fact that our country, our economy, our political system, our infrastructure, through foreign ownership and involvement, alien involvement, if you will, is being subverted, ladies and gentlemen. Our very freedoms, the very document which founded this country and binds it together and made us the greatest country on earth. We are getting set up not only for foreign but domestic usurpation of those rights. And you, who understand this, need to be prepared to defend our country. Our standing army cannot do it alone. It never has been able to. And we gave you in the very first episode of the Minuteman series historical background into that. Now, recruiting, like I say, cannot be a static thing. A freedom movement cannot remain static. When the Cold War turns hot, people leave, retire, die, get hurt, move. So recruitment's a necessary thing, but can be one of the most hazardous duties, actually, when the hammer comes down, ladies and gentlemen. Obviously, enemies of our republic are not going to want you out there actively recruiting against them. So it must be done in a proper fashion to avoid some of the obvious pitfalls as well, agent provocateurs, etc. So let's get into a good recruiting system and some of the requirements it has to meet. It has to be efficient, ladies and gentlemen. It cannot use up a disproportionate amount of time of the organization or its resources. It must produce an adequate return for the effort exerted. Plain and simple. The recruiting system must be selective. Now what we mean here is that the methods used must not only bring in the necessary numbers, but also find and obtain the needed kind of recruits. Competence, perseverance, see the job through to the finish, leadership abilities, technical knowledge, specialty skills, mechanics, nurses, welders, farmers. It must be secure, ladies and gentlemen. It has to have built-in safeguards for weeding out infiltrators, because the enemies of this country will use all their efforts, not only a standing foreign invasion army, but their internal agents, which there are thousands of them already in our country to subvert us. They will try every means to infiltrate. It also must not expose the identity of those already within the organization or their families. So you can't get too worked up about attempts just to get volumes of new members and let your guard down, your security down, and allow in subterfuge. And they must be dependable. The recruiting methods must be dependable. The leadership and your bands and groups around the country must anticipate month-to-month and year-to-year requirements. And you must, the leadership and the band's active members, have to be able to rely on the band or organization's recruiting system to supply those needs. No one recruiting system will meet every requirement. But there are tons of them out there that are very good and cover the requirements somewhat in every area. Now they can be divided, let's say, into three groups. Let's say personal recruiting, specific recruiting, and general recruiting. Now, general recruiting simply refers to the different activities and areas by your organization or group or band of members that cause others to voluntarily request membership. At one time, it was quite simple to simply put ads in to sporting goods sections of newspapers, the back of sporting magazines, something to the effect of, join the Minuteman, an organization of Americans that are patriotic and dedicated to the defense of both national and individual freedom. Now, although that would be dumb to do today, unsafe, it proved quite effective at the time. It enabled bands all around the country in the last couple of decades to contact people out of their area that they nobody knew or even right there with the skills they needed, the mindset. And some of the best members came about through that method. But, of course, the socialist media, which it is, caught on, and as a result, those ads are hard to get anymore. Another effective method is leaflets, pieces of literature, flyers. They've been left out by the thousands around the country, and that's been an effective means of general recruiting. Now, they do produce a large number of prospective recruits when you weigh the efficiency model in proportion, that is, to time and effort expended. They're safe as far as protecting the identity of the person placing the advertisement or distributing the literature is concerned. But it's not secure as far as the new recruit is concerned. All too often, they put their return address and all sorts of information on the outside of the envelope instead of using the methods we've outlined in previous broadcasts on how to properly use the mail. They're also not selective. They bring in a lot of good people. They also bring in a lot of undesirables. And those must be weeded out, of course. So there's your security there. And remember, they also, general recruiting, relies on a reasonable amount of freedom of press, freedom of speech, and freedom of assembly. And as these freedoms have been constantly eroded and will continue to be so up to the strike and declaration of martial law, complete breakdown in our system, our infrastructure, greater caution and deception must be used. Now, personal recruiting requires that one or more members, and I would suggest pairs, that's been the most effective, to personally find, evaluate, and recruit each new member. In a given area, a pair of members with different backgrounds that are already known, active, trusted members, will likely know various people, people of different backgrounds, different areas that they might live in, where they work, so they can work with each other. Also, they can verify identities and stuff a lot better. Now, remember, this method is less efficient, but much more selective. So it's less efficient in the quantities, but you have a lot less weeding out to do at the end. Now, it involves personal recruiting, that is, basically three separate steps. Now, if you look at professional intelligence agencies, they'll quite often use a different person to perform each of these tasks. You have the tipper, the researcher, and the recruiter. The tipper is the person who originally sends in the tip to the organization, whether that be of the pair or one other good member in good standing. And that the tip might be just simply, it's such and such. A person might be qualified and attainable as an intelligence agent or potential member of the underground freedom movement. The tipper may work at his or her job, either part-time or full-time. But actually, the tipper needs to be part of everyone's role. The job of every member of the organization. Everyone you meet, even if it's a casual meeting, should be quickly evaluated. Could they be a potential member? The tipper passes this information on to the people whose main job is recruitment and gives as much information as possible, name, address, telephone number if possible, email if possible. And also any information that he might have and where further information may be obtained. And that brief paragraph stating how they met the potential recruit to the band, the source of their information, etc. And like I say, the average member will always, in his role as part-time tipper, keep his eyes open for potential members as they go about their daily activities. The full-time tipper of a band or organization, whoever gets assigned that task, makes it a special point of joining many different organizations, social functions, activities, where they can meet the maximum number of people in the area. And many in the past have even changed jobs frequently, just for that purpose. And as they gain experience, that full-time person, that experience will help the organization. They learn to look for subtle clues that may alert them to potential underground recruits, intelligence, or espionage agents. And, believe it or not, ardent patriotism isn't necessarily a beginning qualification. Almost no one is born a patriot. The fact that a potential recruit has not had an opportunity or occasion maybe to develop a strong sense of patriotism prior to coming to the attention of a part-time or full-time tipper shouldn't be really considered a great obstacle. Patriotism can be developed through simple education, like our broadcast Hour of the Time. Training, like the Minuteman test, for those of you who are really serious when we start making some of our special offers out there. And there's something else to look for as well. Most people want to feel like their lives are meaningful. They're engaged in meaningful work. They're using their talents and abilities to achieve some worthwhile purpose in life. And if that isn't the case, the person will feel, either consciously or subconsciously, like they're worthless, they're dissatisfied. So often a person whose abilities aren't being fully realized and utilized is something to look for. And what greater meaning could a person put into their life, ladies and gentlemen, than fighting for a cause of freedom? What task could more meaningfully utilize a person's time and talents than the fight to preserve our liberty for future generations, our republic, our constitution, and freedoms for all those around us? And under the ideal conditions, the tipper's work, like I say, will be finished upon finding a prospective name of these three parts. And it then becomes the job of the researcher to learn all he possibly can about the prospect. His general background, family, education, work experience, basic political beliefs, general character, habits, personality, friends, hobbies, temperament. These and many other factors must be carefully investigated. Remember, we're looking for quality, not quantity. And if at all possible, the investigation or research should include at least one personal interview between the prospect and the researcher. But during this time, the prospective recruit should not be given the slightest hint that he's being investigated or researched or interviewed. The tipper nor the researcher at any time should they indicate, never should they indicate to the prospect in any way that they are members of an underground freedom organization and that they have a particular interest in them. Now, if the tipper and researcher both belong to the same band, which they don't often do, sometimes the tipper in one area says, hey, I know about this guy that lives over in your area, guys over there, you need to check him out. But if they do, the tipper and researcher happen to both be in the same band of Minutemen, and the very possible recruit is considered as a possible member of that very unit, then it's up to the group and the unit leader whether he joins or not. And if the prospective recruit is someone of special importance, or if the researcher of your local band is working under the higher headquarters command, then the decision of membership lies with that command, that leadership. Now, following a favorable decision, the tipper and researcher, if they're working together, or their information has flowed as it should, then the recruit can be contacted by the recruiter. And of the three members that we've talked about, the three aspects of personal recruitment involved, only the recruiter identifies himself as a member of the organization. And only when they are satisfied that an investigation to join will be met by a favorable response and the invitation as well. If you have done your research, the tipper has started, then the researcher has done his background check, and the recruiter comes out to attempt to get a quality recruit, but there's a 50-50 chance that the person might just outright say no because you've already checked out a lot of their beliefs and organizations they belong to, their views. Don't identify yourself as a specific member until you have an answer. So basically, for the recruiter, some simple guidelines. Do not rush. Do not rush. Sometimes a single interview might suffice. And sometimes there might be several meetings to accomplish the objective. Another area, arrangements for the interview must provide quiet, privacy, and sufficient time for the recruiter to cover his material thoroughly. And another point, by his dress, speech, manner of presentation, and every other possible way, the researcher will attempt to impress the prospect with the seriousness of the situation, the importance of the meeting to the prospect personally. This fact, then, gives the recruiter a way to actually begin his interview simply by reviewing and confirming a considerable amount of the data already compiled. And another point, during the meeting or meetings, the recruiter must accomplish essentially seven things. First, he must be given a thorough and convincing picture of the socialist threat, the potential recruit. Second, the prospect must be convinced that the socialists can and will win with the tactics they are now using, whereas our government cannot possibly win with the tactics they're using. To stop them, that is. Third, he must be convinced that the socialists already have such complete control over the American news media and political processes that it is impossible to change the sluggish government policies to stop socialism or the non-existent policies of our government by the customary means of simple public opinion, as in letters to the editor, etc. Fourth, the prospect must be convinced that a life and death conflict is raging right now between the forces of freedom and advocates of a New World Order socialist slavery system. And that the chief weapons of them are espionage, subversion, propaganda, and psychopolitical warfare. Fifth, he must be convinced their government is not using those weapons effectively, which is a fact. And that if the American people expect to be slaves from slavery, they are going to have to do it themselves. And if the prospect actually thinks, along the socialist mindset, that only the government has the resources for such a job, or it's their duty, then the recruiter must remind that person of the benevolent document, and that the government has nothing except what it first takes from the people. It is within the hearts and souls of hundreds of millions of American citizens that our real strength lies. If the government won't or can't do it, then the people must and will do it. Six, the prospective recruit must be convinced that we are the most experienced, most dedicated, and best disciplined organization that is involved in this fight at the grassroots level. That we have a program that actually holds promise of ultimate victory. And seventh, the prospect must be convinced that he is personally needed to perform an important task that urgently needs to be done, that his energy and ability will be best utilized as part of the organization rather than wasted out there in idle chatter and on the streets and in groups that are not effective in the fight for freedom. Unfortunately, sometimes we must in actual practice compromise what we should do with what we can do, ladies and gentlemen. In the case of recruiting, this is most often true regarding the work of the researcher. And ladies and gentlemen, I need to get a drink of water, and we're going to take a musical break here real quickly and continue on with the phases of recruitment to help you avoid pitfalls that have been time-tested and to avoid the provocateurs and socialist agents that will try to join your freedom organization in your defense of our country and our freedoms. And remember, those of you listening out there, this doesn't apply to just America. If you live in South America, Canada, Europe, anywhere, it applies just as much. All of these phases. The world is truly engaged in a battle. And it is a life and death battle between freedom and socialist slavery. And not America only needs to be free. All people should be. And it can only start with you, ladies and gentlemen. Not the government. Not your neighbor, not the guy down the street. It's not someone else's job. It's yours. Remember that, ladies and gentlemen. As we talk about personal involvement and personal sacrifice, devotion, demeanor, competence, perseverance, and the need for your support, just like our organization, the Hour of the Time. gentlemen. Again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time here with Part 7 in our Minuteman series with your host, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. I hope all of you are taking notes and studying, and you can back up that studying even more so by donating for the broadcast, and at the same time you're helping the Hour of the Time maintain our mission. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, when you buy these broadcasts, a lot of you are really into the piracy thing, and that all that does is hurt us and hurt the cause. You're doing no good by handing out stacks of free copies to your friends. Because if they're unwilling to even make a minimal sacrifice of a donation for the spearhead of the freedom movement, then they're basically already proven themselves worthless. Throwing it up on YouTube or anywhere else does the same thing. Now, if you have a band of people that you want to, in your household, get together and begin recruiting, begin educating, go over these details, that's fine. But remember, when there's 10 of you getting that information, those other 9 aren't helping the Hour of the Time, but they're getting all the work that we put into it. So you need to consider that and make donations to cover the usage that you've gotten out of it. It's only appropriate and only fair because you wouldn't have had it in the first place if it wasn't for the Hour of the Time. Now, some more on the recruiting, ladies and gentlemen. You can't obviously call up a person's employer or go banging on his neighbor's doors or probing into his private affairs. But it is essential that a band obtains, by tactful and unobtrusive means, a fair picture of the prospective recruit's loyalty, ability, personality, and other important qualifications. All this takes time as well as tact and experience. Like most members of the organization, all our trained researchers as well as other members have to hold down regular jobs as well during the normal work week and try to squeeze the organization's work into the weekends and evenings. So to do that, to properly check out the background of a prospective recruit might require several evenings. And in many cases, there isn't even a qualified researcher within reasonable driving distance of a prospect's residence. And in these cases, the tipper must also act as the researcher. And that is why the tipper, or the average member even, that's part-time tipper, when they run into a likely prospect and send in the basic information, it should be the report as complete as humanly possible. So in those cases where the tipper has to act like researcher as well, and that could be any member in good standing, you have to have, besides the obvious information, name, address, age, phone number if possible, it should also include the prospect's occupation, not only the type of work he's currently doing, but the type of jobs he's done. Or other occupations outside of that area that he's held previously. It shouldn't cover just the prospect's political philosophy, but also as much can be learned about his beliefs of his close relatives. And even, if it's possible, the information about close friends is valuable because it's often true that a person is known by the company they keep. Descriptions of his personality, speech, and other mannerisms is also critical. It should also include the tipper's thoughts, and remember this is where the tipper has to act as researcher as well. The value of the prospect to the organization. The prospect doesn't need to be actively interested, ladies and gentlemen, let's say, in the study of classical guerrilla warfare. One example is an attorney I know that, although they're not an active member, don't go shooting, have some basic supplies, and that's about it. Always makes their services available to fellow members, though. And their advice. Another member doesn't even own a firearm, but their private plane is available at any given time. Because remember, it's been proven throughout history, it's fact, that in any freedom resistance movement, underground movement fighting for their country's freedoms, and it will be especially important here, that the minimum non-combatants, if you will, that are needed for every combatant is 4. 4 to 1. It's the logistics and support for the combat, if you will, that is oh so critical to victory and completion of the ultimate mission at hand. Essentially, in the U.S. military, it comes down to 10 to 1 in a standing army scenario, to give you an example. 10 support troops for every one active combatant. Now, there is a way to encourage members, ladies and gentlemen, to locate prospective members, especially those qualified to hold special jobs that have special abilities or training. And that's a prospective data form. And it's simply a form that your band can make up based on your individual band's requirements, or you can follow the guidance of the national headquarters. And it is simply a form you can fill in so that you don't miss information that you just didn't forget at the time to get, but you may already knew before you go bother turning it in or going to the band to speak about it. Keep some of these notes on hand as your band decides what the requirements are and what you need for these special skills, these specially trained people. And these forms are made up and used across the board, blank forms, let's say, just 8.5 by 11. All members should have some of these on hand. Because at all times, all members must keep alert for those persons who have the special physical, mental, and patriotic qualities that are needed by the organization and dedicated to the defense of national individual liberty. And it doesn't mean the personal data form, which should be later destroyed, of course, needs to be made out for every new member recruited into your band. You'll only create unnecessary paperwork and bog your organization down. They should only be used when a special check needs to be made, or when a potential recruit's special talents and skills and training make a very special recruiting effort worthwhile. And why, out of necessity, the tipper and researcher may be one and the same person, the actual recruiting should, if at all possible, be done by a different member. Remember, that's the third part, the recruiter. And unless the new recruit, ladies and gentlemen, is actually assigned to the same exact band as the tipper and researcher, those two need never know whether the prospect actually does or doesn't become a member. Even when a single person acts as tipper, researcher, and recruiter, it is still desirable they follow the exact same series and sequence of events. The recruiting effort must always and should always proceed in an orderly manner, without neglecting any of the essential steps covered so far. And the tipper, ladies and gentlemen, which is every member's responsibility, in reality, will be making a bad mistake if they go out looking for some particular type of prospect. And it's just as bad to overlook a possible recruit, some because he doesn't fit you or the tipper's preconceived notion of what a good member should be. We are asking the recruit to give up some of his time, even his money. He needs to buy gear. We're asking him to disrupt his normal life and do without many of the luxuries that most people value so greatly or take for granted nowadays. So if you expect the recruit to accept your offer, you must provide them with some very compelling reasons for doing so. And not all people will do the same thing for the same reason, ladies and gentlemen. Some people you'll find may join a freedom movement because of patriotism. Another, when the hammer comes down, may be for revenge. They lost their family. Another may join out of respect for the leader or a fellow members. Some may join for the sheer excitement. You have to keep that all in mind. Remember, almost anyone, if they're trustworthy, is of value to the organization. Salesmen make excellent recruiters. Your average businessmen are quite good at administration oftentimes. We talked about the kitchen militia, if you will. The stay-at-home mom, the housewife, however you want to refer to them as, that is large across the nation. And that term kitchen militia was started by one of the greatest lady militia members I know. So it's not meant to be derogatory. But imagine a housewife that can pledge just 2 hours a day. To the analysis of intelligence, documents, reading, verifying. What a wonderful task and an important one. And don't skip up what you would consider mundane labor. You might be surprised what someone knows. They may be the lowest man on a labor crew framing houses right now, but in their home workshop, they might be an expert machinist. One of those guys that can rebuild any engine he touches. Taxi cab drivers, hotel bellhops, telephone switchboard operators, for organizations that is, are excellent sources because they talk and see and touch a lot of people. Truck drivers are handy. They see and meet a lot of people. And the whole system of truck drivers, waitresses, and truck stops in and of itself can be a huge recruiting tool, act as a live transfer for messages, and even transportation of necessary supplies like food, medical, etc. There's always a need for what we would call secretaries. And that can be and secretaries doesn't mean that you're taking dictation or just filing papers. Because remember, secretary can also be the person taking minutes, keeping things organized in a fashion on paperwork that's easily understood yet secure. And remember, the high school boy or girl of today may be tomorrow's leaders. The list goes on and on, ladies and gentlemen. It's hard to imagine any individual trader occupation that would not be of value to an underground organization, fighting for the freedoms and restoration of all our freedoms in our constitutional republic. When the hammer goes down and the economy collapses, wouldn't it be real handy if the band, in the middle of winter with pipes freezing, had a plumber as a member, a professional plumber, an electrician, a carpenter, a heavy equipment operator. So don't overlook people thinking that they have mundane jobs or they're just sheer labor. And again, remember, do not discard a prospective member too quickly just because they're not fully informed. Pay less attention to what the prospect or potential recruit is right now. Give greater consideration, ladies and gentlemen, to what the prospect can become after they receive proper training and research and information. And ladies and gentlemen, this is just part of the recruiting phase because it is oh so important, this seventh episode in the Minuteman series. So I want you to take heed of the information. Remember, we are listener-supported, ladies and gentlemen. Now, a quick side note, besides all the great new announcements about the Sedona, final production is done on the 4-DVD set, which will be announcing the prices, shipping, etc., and the conference updates, and the fact that CMRI.TV, you'll have missed today's broadcast twice on the internet, but internet TV on Friday is available to you, Mondays and Fridays of the hour of the time. But also, because of some equipment failures we had here and internal problems, those have all been rectified, and all outstanding orders have shipped. So don't worry about that. And all of you who were delayed by 2 or 3 weeks due to those problems, I've given you coupons for special offers to make up for it. I want to thank you for tuning into the Hour of the Time this evening, website hourofthetime.com. I hope everyone has a safe